Welcome to the holiday special episode with How to Dean Clifford on Global Fact Radio. Today is Sunday, December 23rd, 2012, the night before Christmas Eve. And I'm your host, Tony Boutros, and I've got with me our star of the show, Dean Clifford. And tonight's show is going to be a 1 hour only. We do not have a specific topic chosen. And it's going to be an open format. I thought it would be a good one for us to get caught up on some of the questions that we missed in the previous episodes. Or if you guys have any questions you'd like to ask as well, that would be great. Now, before we get started, quickly, I have a couple of announcements. One regarding our follow button, which you can find on either our profile page or the episode page for today's episode. If you click on that button, it would be greatly appreciated, as it will give us higher rankings on the Block Talk Radio Network. And at the same time, it does you a favor by notifying you of any upcoming shows that Global Fact Radio will be holding. Questions are going to be done throughout the whole hour, so you can ask them anytime you want. There's two ways you can do that. Because it's only 1 hour show, it's probably be best to do the questions on the air. They'll be handled faster. If you want to do that, you can call in at 646-478-5728. And that call could be made completely free if you use the Skype icon, which can be found on the episode page to the right of the call-in number. You'll see it there. Just click on that icon and follow the online prompts, and it will become a Skype-to-Skype call completely free. Questions on the chat can also be done. Please post them on the chat room in bold red letters, so that way I can see them. If the questions are not in bold red letters, there's a very high probability I'll probably miss them, because I'm kind of monitoring two different screens here. Please use the bold red letters only for the questions, not for general conversation, just to make things simpler for me. That would be greatly appreciated. Lastly, questions that are sent to AskDean at GlobalFact2012.com. Now, I want to stress this and make this very, very clear to everybody. If you have private questions you wish to ask Dean that you don't want them answered on the air, do not send questions to that email address, because it takes up my time trying to filter through the questions, and a lot of questions get sent there. So you have to understand that, you know, not just you are, you're not the only one sending questions. There are a lot of people sending questions on a daily basis. So if you don't want your questions answered on the air, don't send them there. They're just going to be ignored. It's up to Dean if he wants to give you his personal email address, which I doubt. What Dean suggested, and he's going to mention that as well, is that if you don't want your question answered on the air, you're welcome to go to the forum on the website and ask your question there. So just to be on the record, the Ask Dean at GlobalFact2012.com should only be used for questions that are to be answered on the air during our show. And please keep the questions short and concise. I'm getting these huge, long questions. It takes me 10 minutes just to read them. So that would be greatly appreciated. Okay, Dean, we're going to switch it over to you. Are you there?
Hey, how's it going?
Okay. I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Very good today.
Got your Christmas shopping done?
Yeah. I kept completely in line with my boycott commercial Christmas guarantee that I gave on Facebook there a few months back, and I managed to buy, commercially speaking, retail, one gift this year, simply because I had to, and I couldn't get it anywhere else, and the item that I had to replace for somebody annoyed me so much that it's actually more of a gift to myself than it is to the person I'm giving it to, because I don't have to look at the other thing anymore once they finally get this gift. So, but I kept it low. I think I've spent a total of $42 so far this year on Christmas. Everybody else gets my dad's getting a quarter of my Black Angus cow that showed up about 2-3 weeks ago. So he's getting 120 something pounds of meat, which actually is a pretty good gift. That's about $400.
Where's the beef?
Meat, actually. Yeah, exactly. So he's getting that. Everybody else is getting dinner I hope I'm getting a couple of casseroles. I know my dad's bringing me this broccoli cheese casserole that my mother always used to make, but now that she's not here anymore, he makes it. He makes it almost as good, so I accept that as a gift. The oatmeal raisin cookies that I spoke about before, things like that. So boycott commercial Christmas. Nobody go to the mall. Make something.
Sounds good to me. Sounds great to me. Okay, one last thing I forgot to mention, guys. For the people who are going to call in for the questions, there's a lot of people who call in just to listen to the show. They don't necessarily want to ask questions. So if you are a person who wish to ask a question, you need to raise your hand. And you do that by pressing 1 on your numeric dial pad. That puts a flag next to your name, and I'll know that you wish to ask a question, okay? All right. So, Dean, this is an open format, so we don't have a topic at hand. So I thought we'd handle some of the questions that were posed to us this week, as well as any past questions that we missed on previous shows. How does that sound to you?
Yeah, we might as well do that. I think, we were discussing leaving it for 2 weeks over the holidays, and I said, no, let's just do an hour where we just talk and just go over whatever here before leading up to Christmas and before we get into the holidays. So, yeah. And again, the questions, we'd spoken about this off air before we got going today. We usually try to stick to the shorter questions too. I mean, people want to send in these 3, 4, 5 page questions. And I used to get those in my email inbox, 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, when I first started getting emails from people, again, that I was even shocked people even wanted to email me to ask me questions, when the first couple of videos went out. But I actually tried to answer all these at first. And you can't. Because there's 7 billion people on this earth that are in trouble, and every single one of them got a problem. And it seemed like 10% of them wanted to send me questions with a problem that was 8 pages long. I can't read them all. And your problem isn't case specific. Every single question people have sent me, the answer is on one of the videos. I just responded to one in my email box the other day. I said, well, here it is again. And I spelled it out for him in a couple sentences. I said, I'm pretty sure that this was on one of the episodes of Global Fact about 3 weeks ago. And he got back to me and goes, oh, shit, it was too, but it didn't make sense to me when I heard it on the show. I said, well, then you should have gone back and listened to it about 8 more times before you asked me on email, because then you would understand it enough yourself.
Well, that's the beauty about an archive, a recorded archive, is you can listen to it as many times as you want, right?
Yeah, and we spoke about this off air as well. The amusing thing is even though the answers aren't direct sometimes, every problem that anybody on this planet has with regards to the material that we cover, government, anything else, taxes, criminal charges, you name it, your answer is in one of the radio shows or one of the videos I've made. Everybody has been given the answer. And if you didn't understand, if you're asking a question, it's because you didn't understand it or you didn't watch it enough times and you got some studying to do. So until people have read those 3 or 4 books that I think that I gave out for you to go read. Don't send in 7 or 8. I know everybody's under the gun. I mean, I got another urgent with 18 exclamation marks thing question the other day in my inbox, and I just started laughing. Like, I almost can't read those because I know it's urgent. Everybody's problem is urgent because we've let things on this planet become so frickin' bad that everybody's in a panic for solutions now. That's where we're at. That's the sad part, actually. So what took 3 generations to cause, people want to fix by next weekend. And that's just not going to happen. Unfortunately, you're going to have to take the lumps and learn. And that's probably why the lumps are being dished out right now. You're being told to go learn. So I'll let you go on that now.
Okay. Well, if we're going to start with the questions then, I guess I'm going to tell a... let's see, who is this? This would be David Allen Bell. If you're on the air, David Allen, I will not read your questions since you specifically specified that you don't want it to be covered on the air. So I'll just delete it from the email inbox. You can post that on the forum. Or, Dean, what are the ways they can send you those questions if people who
don't
want
to? I thought about this, and I was like, you know what, should I set up a new email just to get questions again? And I think the same thing is going to happen that happened a year and a half ago, and that is going to be that I'm going to wind up getting hundreds of questions in my email inbox that I cannot possibly answer. I can't even possibly read them all, never mind answer to them. And that's the whole reason for the forum right now, and then into the new year, we're going to get those courses together we'd spoken about for beginners and whatnot, just for, like, here's the resources, here's the beginner material. Learn at your own pace, hopefully, depending on what pace we can get them out. But honestly, the forum has been around for 5 or 6 days now, and there's already 500 and something posts on there. Most of it is material that would come in handy for everybody to get on there and learn. I've had to start learning to leverage my time. Instead of trying to deal with everyone's problem and answering the same question 50 times, I'm going to answer questions once from now on. And then it's up to them to go and find the information on the forum. And that way I can help 50 people by answering a question once, and then they got to go do the research, and everything's all broken down into categories. There's other people in there that have been part of this game for 10 or 15 years now that I've brought in just for going through and helping answer stuff for other people that are on there. So instead of one of me, there's about 10 of me on there. But they're all people that I work with who normally would never speak publicly or teach or do any of this kind of stuff, and they're on there helping out. So that's going to be up for people to now go and sign up and get on there and want to help build this resource, because there's been a tremendous response to it already. So, yeah, there you go. I see a couple people already on the chat box, somebody I recognize already from the forum. And, yeah, it's the same thing, and we're accustomed to this. So, unfortunately, like I say, if people have been negligent for a decade, the chances of them getting me a question 10 pages long that I can get an answer to is actually just impossible. They're going to have to start going to the forum. They're going to have to start getting involved. We are getting groups together. We're getting more organized. Everybody's talking more often. There's never been a better time to get involved and learn your rights, because all the information is here.
Okay. So then the first question I'm going to ask you then is from Lee Edgley. This seems to be a relatively short question. It says, would you ask Dean if the legal title for the car is held in trust for you by the government, and if so, when the police pull you over, you can take the presumption away from them that they own the legal title because it is in your name, in brackets, I know about the equity holder, or are they right that they own it because the name is in the legal person and they own the legal person?
Okay, they definitely don't own the legal person. Let me see if I can answer this straightforward. They are holding legal title in trust, and it is for the protection of the beneficiary, because you got somebody who granted that property to be protected. You got somebody who's supposed to be benefiting from it. Now, the problem is, and I know we've spoken about wills before, but if there was no will ever expressed to let them know, and I don't even want to say it that, because people are starting to confuse now the difference between a will that can be enforced in the public and, say, a private will. The police are making sure that the property is being used properly, and if there is no will expressed and the property hasn't been kept private, they're going to enforce statutes on it, which is the will of the public, right? That's all statutes are. It's the will of the public, and even then, that's debatable. But don't expect to be able to send the government in a will for your person in the public and expect the government to publicly administrate that thing. That's not what the government is there to do. They're there to administrate the person in the public, and that's the resources, all that kind of stuff. If you want to start operating privately, you have to operate privately. And there's been so many stories lately, emails that have been coming to me, success stories of people driving with the private plate, with just an affidavit, no other ID, not even a live birth record, and they're getting left alone by the cops now. Maybe the cops are starting to get caught up, I don't know. But again, even the video I just watched the other day proved that. The problem is they came back a couple of times, the cops, like a few more instances. Like a week later they came back, pulled the same guy over again, really gave it to him the second time. Like, I mean, like full on, like out of the car, back of the cop car, the arrest, everything, to see if you're going to cave in and give in to them. And you have to hold your ground. And that's another thing, actually. I wasn't really public about this about a week ago, but my brother there, they ended up rearresting him about a week ago. They had a bit of a sting operation to take him down, those damn free men. And they rearrested him. They had, an undercover, four cruisers, eight cops, all to arrest him as he was picking up the kids when they were getting off the school bus. They had to make a big scene out of it too, right? They couldn't do it any other time. They had to wait till he was picking up the kids from school kind of thing. The school bus is there, and, you know, like, oh, we got to make him look like a bad person in front of everybody. So they rearrested him, and, of course, he's up on two more charges now, which is failure to appear at court and driving without a license again now. I think he's up to eight charges, and, again, now the fear takes in. Now they're trying to, you know, they're driving him down to the cop station there in the RCMP in Turner Valley, and and the cops are all like, look, Darren, this is getting really serious now. We're not messing around anymore. You got to quit with this free man bullshit, and you better get a lawyer. You're looking at a lot of time in jail. You didn't show up for your last hearing. You are not getting out this time. You're done. You are in jail until you get this settled. There's no way you're getting bail. You better get a lawyer. This is getting very serious. And it was funny. When Darren phoned me, he's like, man, he goes halfway back to the police station. It sounded like they were begging me to get a lawyer instead of, like, trying to, like, help me. They were like, oh, like, we need this guy to get a lawyer. And, of course, they do. He's liable for it. The cops are holding full liability for everything they've done. We managed to cut our time in half from the last time he was in jail. Last time they held him for 4 days before they finally had to get rid of him. This time he was out before midnight, the end of the second day. Just by not believing their bullshit and standing his ground, they couldn't hold him. Okay? So the point I'm trying to make here, this is more than having the right documents. This is more than understanding trust law perfectly and legal title this and legal title that. In the end, really and honestly, all you have to have is a bill of sale for the property. A bill of sale. And after that, nobody can tell you where that property goes. If you own it, you bought it, and you're expressing the will of your estate, this is my will, or even just my will, period. Not even the estate, just even my will. This is my property, and my will is to be in possession of my property. It's unconditional use. Who in the fuck are you to tell me what I can and cannot do with my property? Who are you? And you got to stand your ground. And I think that's the biggest point everybody has to realize here, and this is why there's no case-specific question. In the end, all this really comes down to is, are you going to believe their horse shit?
Are you going to succumb to their fear?
Yeah, are you going to succumb to their fear and contract with them because they're trying to force you into contract? That's all it is. So this is not case-specific, like just for a driver's license or driving around your car or anything like that, right? It's not case-specific. Stop buying into their bullshit. It is just that. It's bullshit. I think even on the forums there, like me and one of my good friends that are involved in this, we have a bit of like an ongoing dispute about what Section 32 and 52 mean of the Charter there, about how it doesn't apply to the private person. We're actually saying the same thing, but we're still saying it in different ways for like a year now. And I have to make it clear to people, I never use that as a defense, like, oh, my rights have to be protected because of this section of the Charter. No. Basically, again, it's trying to tell you that you don't care about any of their bullshit because none of it applies to you. I don't care. That it has nothing to do with me. Well, sir, section this in the motor vehicle. I don't care. It has nothing to do with me. I don't care about your stuff. Okay? No more fancy paperwork. I think we're going to start doing that in the new year, too. We're going to try to get people out of even filing paperwork into the courts and just handling everything verbally. Okay? I haven't filed anything in the courts now anymore. I don't, period. I handle the situation verbally now. My brother was out in 2 days verbally. Didn't file one thing. I didn't even help him this time. He got himself out, which was the amusing part. He knew what to say. He didn't deviate from what he knows what to say. He didn't believe in their... Every time the judge would, oh, Mr. Clifford, this matter is very serious. If I hear this free man argument one more time, I'm going to see to it that the Crown gets what they're asking for, and you are not going to be released no matter what until your trial date, like in the spring or something, right? And they know Christmas is coming. That's why they did it right before Christmas. He wants to be out for Christmas. Oh, this guy's going to cave. This guy's going to cave. Well, no, he didn't. He's out in 2 days anyways. All he did was show them more disrespect for their court.
Now, Jane, okay. you mentioned something that the police now are just letting people go, but they're coming back after them for a week. Do you think that what they're doing is they're letting them go at the time, and then they're going to what? They're planning their tactics of how they're going to attack, then coming back, or what?
Yeah, absolutely. And they're testing you. They're going to see if you really believe in this or not, and they're going to scare you. They might again. If you're going to back down the minute they throw you in jail for a day, then I guess you don't really believe. Right? Oh, man, I didn't think it was going to get this serious. All right, fine, I'll just do what you told me to do. No. Now they're going to make you wish you'd just done it. the first time.
Well, it comes down to one very important question. What's your freedom worth? What's your true freedom worth to you?
Yeah. What, and we've talked about this. This is why there's no magic document.
Okay, so moving on here, since we only have an hour, let's try to keep this as short and concise as possible.
Yep.
So Arvid Olson asks, do we still need to start by sending in a claim of right to give notice?
I would say yes to that, because, again, status is everything. Status is everything. If they don't recognize, I should even go back from there, everything you've done in your life to this point has led them to believe you're something else. You're a resident of Canada. You checked off the resident box on your social insurance number application. You got a driver's license. You've done all these things that on the public record make it appear as though you're a resident of Canada, a foreign officer of Her Majesty. So before you just start doing this stuff, if you want the least amount of troubles possible, start undoing those things first, sending them notice. I've just realized I've made a terrible mistake, and I've led you people to believe that I'm one of your agents. Well, that isn't the case, and here's my notice to correct the record. I'm going to be operating the private from now on. This is who I am. You've been given notice. Don't contact me again. I do not want you to solicit me in any way, shape, or form. Cease all unwarranted solicitations. Don't contact me. These are my rights. This is what I'm going to be doing. You've got X amount of days to respond to this and tell me anything to the contrary and provide proof of claim. Otherwise, it is agreed that. Stuff like that.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Dean, but this is one of those specific things that we're going to have in the course in the new year where an actual step-by-step, step one, do this, step two, do this, in terms of serving notice, this is one of the things we're going to have in the course, correct?
I would expect, yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, Pat English asks, non-payment of rural property tax in British Columbia causes the title to forfeit to the Crown rather than be put to a tax sale, as in the case with municipal property. Once it forfeits to the Crown, the taxes owed are extinguished. Would this extinguishment be of any benefit or not? Too much to go into here about my situation, but would like your view on the subject between forfeiture and tax sale. Thanks, Rick.
Yeah, well, see, the interesting thing is forfeiture precludes that they have the right to just simply take back something that they're claiming they granted to you. The only person that can take something back is somebody saying, oh, well, we granted this to you, and you're not living up to the terms, so we're just going to take it back. You forfeit it. And that's the problem right there that you want to attack, is that, well, who are you? And that's why it's the same problem. It doesn't matter where it is. Who are you, and what is your standing with regards to this property? What is your claim? Are you claiming that you granted me this land? Because if that's the case, I need to know where you got it from, that you claim to have this authority over this land. And if we're talking the province of British Columbia right now, one of the things you may want to ask the province when you get back to them, ask them, is could you please send me proof of the meets and bounds of the province of British Columbia? Because you've got to remember, meets and bounds is what describes real land, real property. The province of Ontario actually is described by meets and bounds, but nothing west of Ontario is. That's because none of these provinces actually exist on the land. They're all commercial zones. They don't exist on the land. They're commercial zones. Ready? One more time. They don't exist on the land. They are commercial zones. I had a friend in Saskatchewan who was having a problem with, I can't even remember the specific situation, but he ended up calling the local police station, I think it was, and asked them to get an officer from whatever lawful authority on that land to phone him back for whatever this complaint was. It had something to do with CRA, I can't remember. No, that's a lie. That was a different guy altogether, but same result. Whatever and I could get more specifics on this story and give a better story, but I know this for sure to be the case. He ended up getting a phone call from a police officer in Nunavut. And when the police officer from Nunavut phoned him, he's like, what the hell are you doing phoning me? And he said, well, I was told to contact somebody from blah, 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 whatever the story was. But it turned out that And we're talking southern Saskatchewan, right near the American border. The actual lawful police force of that land was based in Nunavut, because this is all the Northwest Territories. There is no Canada here. It's a commercial zone. Outside of that commercial zone, apparently a police officer from Nunavut will phone you. That's the lawful police force of this landmass, because there is no meets and bounds for the provinces here. They don't exist. They never did. So that's been confirmed twice now. I got two stories of people getting a phone call from Nunavut, and the third one was a guy that after he'd beaten Revenue Canada about five times and they had to take it to the appeals court for the proper authority, they ended up going to the appellate court in Nunavut. What the fuck is an income tax issue going to the appeals court in Nunavut for? And I think they realized their mistake, and it was withdrawn right away, but not before this guy got noticed, because they figured, oh shit, we better not let them know that the proper appeals court for this jurisdiction is in Nunavut. Why? Because it's the only lawful authority on this landmass area right here. Because the provinces don't exist here. It's a commercial zone. Anyways.
Okay. So are you done with that question?
I'm done with that one. Hopefully that tirade and rant got people thinking something, so.
Let's cross our fingers. Okay, John Lewis asks, please ask Dean on how to execute a commercial lien correctly, and does he bother to stand when a judge enters a provisional / statute court?
That's a tough one. I've done everything. I've fought with these guys. I've been threatened by sheriffs to stand when judges are coming in, and just to be a prick, I'd stay seated, you know, that kind of stuff. To be honest with you, I don't care anymore. If that's the matter, I just stay standing, and I'm already standing when they walk in, or it doesn't matter to me. That's a moot topic for me. So what was the first part of that?
How to execute a commercial lien correctly.
The commercial lien processes that I did, and here's the problem, is I still have, and this is the reason why I actually have to stop answering the 100 emails I get about this kind of stuff. I still have my own stuff to deal with that I haven't had a chance to yet in a year and a half. I've got two very lovely perfected commercial liens that I have to pursue, and I haven't decided whether or not I want to bring them through the federal court or the Queen's Bench here in Manitoba yet, because they are perfected. But I can tell you, also, that commercial liens definitely do work. They definitely lien up property, and we're still figuring out how to collect on those or monetize them. Whether or not you ever will be able to is another matter. Or more like what I said a year ago, it might just be that we end up making things so uncomfortable that they end up coming to us just ask us how much to make us go away, which might be the case. But I did find... in the federal court, the commercial lien process, sir, I'll get back to that. I think I used like it's supposed to be a 7 or 8 step process for sending this, and you send this, you know, the affidavit, and then all your other kind of crap. I ended up just making one lengthy document that was something that I drafted myself that kind of covered everything. It had the affidavit built right into it. It was almost done up like a statement of claim that would go into Queen's Bench. And then I served that on everybody privately through registered mail. And then after they defaulted 30 days later, I just defaulted them, and that was the end of it. Judgment was passed, and they were sent all sorts of certificates of default and affidavits of obligation now because they failed to respond. I've got all that paperwork now, and I think that there should be a way that I should be able to go and put that into a federal court file or a Queen's Bench court file by special deposit so that I'm the one collecting on it. And I know for sure in the federal court, I read through all their forms about a half a year ago, and there is a form in the federal court that basically you get a judgment that recognizes a foreign judgment, which brings it into the jurisdiction of Canada, so it can be recognized, and you can then go and use it to put like liens on buildings and whatnot. So I'd like to play around with that more. I know it does work. It certainly makes them nervous. At the very least, if you're tying up their bonds, all you have to do is find out who's holding their bonds and send that commercial lien down there, and it is liened like that. And that has happened about a dozen times that I know of with some people, where all of a sudden lawyers couldn't practice, and there was a big stink that went on, and Even crown attorneys for CRA, all of a sudden their offices are moved the next day to a different province. All sorts of weird shit has happened. So they clearly have an effect. We just don't know what yet, because we want to keep meddling in their affairs, meddling around in the trustee system to try to effect remedy. And the only way to do that is by touchy-feely. Do this and see what happens. Do that, see what happens. So Winston Schrout, I think he's got a system there for a commercial lien. I had a document on my computer from 10 years ago. There was commercial lien, the most potent weapon. I think it must be like a 15-year-old document that has a 5-step process on commercial liens. You can find it out there and just add to it based on what we've talked about in some of our radio shows, is just making sure that, you know, people are served. You keep lots of proof. Let them know you're convening court. Put your law in there, like your legal maxims or your maxims of equity you want to put in there, which is the law governing your claim. Fancy it up. And again, like, I'm not going to give people a template for that, because if you need a template just to fill your name in, you don't understand the process. And if you don't understand the process, you're not going to be able to stand by it. You're not going to be able to make answer to it without, you know, having to call somebody. Oh, shit. Now what do I do? They ask me what this means. Okay? So you have to write it in your own words. I remember getting documents that people sent me, like, years ago, and I'd read it, and I'd be like, oh, man, that... I don't even know what the hell this says, so it must be good. So you send it off. Well, shit, I had no... If they ever phone... I got to think about that one day. I was like, man, if somebody ever phoned me or showed up at my door and asked me to explain even 3 sentences of this, I would not be able to, which means they know I didn't write it, which means it has no force or effect. It didn't come from me. It's not my claim. So, yeah, learn this stuff. Commercial lien is the most potent weapon. There you go. Do a Google search on that. There should be a PDF document you can download for commercial lien, the most potent weapon. Winston Schrout's got a great template you can follow. If you want to add stuff to it, don't use his template. Just use the ideas that he's expressed. Just start doing it. See what happens. See who gets nervous and go and... I don't know, try depositing it into the court record and file a lawsuit. Try sending it to the law society if it's against a lawyer. Send your perfected commercial lien and all copies of it, certified copies. Always keep the originals. That's the administrative copy. It's yours. Send certified copies to the law society if it's against a lawyer. Send certified copies to the deputy minister of finance. If it's against a crown attorney, send it to the deputy minister of finance. As far as I'm concerned, that's who would be holding their bonds. Just start firing shit off, and if nothing else, if they're not going to do anything we tell them to do and we're not going to have remedy in the courts, then fuck it. Let's at least fuck shit up so much for them that we make it so awful that they don't even want to talk to us anymore, because we're just clogging their system with crap. I'm okay with that if they don't want to listen to us. That's my spiteful side I'm trying to get away with, but that was my solution 10 years ago. Well, fuck them. I'm just going to screw things up as much as I can then. But that's no longer my mantra. We're trying to get away from that. I'm trying to get away from the anger, Tony.
Dean, are you following the conversation on the chat room at all?
Kind of, hang on, yeah. A little bit, yeah.
Okay, someone's, Sans Remorse says, I could listen to this for hours and hours. Landoff says, same. Then Sans Remorse comes back. Also, I think I have a bit of a man crush on Dean. And so does his wife.
That's funny. You know, I actually, you know what, interestingly enough, after last week's show, I'll tell this little quick story here. I had a Skype call with a friend of mine, and there's a lot of people I talk to that have been in this movement for 10-15 years, a lot of people that have basically almost given up now, and they don't care anymore, really. They're tired, and they've had it. And after listening to the show, I think for a couple of weeks now, we got to talk on Skype there, and he goes, man, he goes, I got to tell you, man, he goes, every time I hear you talk about this stuff, he goes, when I think I don't ever want to deal with this nonsense ever again, I get encouraged again. I just want to start standing up and just get back into the fight. And I was like, man, that's pretty cool. Like, that's a pretty good compliment that people kind of get encouraged. And that's, I hope at the very least that even if we're not even teaching things that'll help, which I know they do because I've seen what happens, just to have people stand up and say, yeah, you know what, you're right, I've had enough of this. That's more important than any paperwork. Just having the backbone to finally say, enough is enough. We're done. And that's what my letter was. I don't know if you got a chance to read that, Tony. I got a blog that I typed about my most recent... I went and I met up with my local member of parliament. Again, I want to start working with people. I want to affect positive change. I want to do good things in life now. So I went and I sat down with him for an hour at a scheduled meeting and had a good chat with him, and I wrote a big blog about it and put it up on the website there, my meeting with my member of parliament, December 20th, 2012. And it was interesting. And the guy, even though like our philosophies on things might be a little bit different, this guy had the exact same concerns as me. Exact same concerns as me. He is in the government. He's a member of parliament. He has the same concerns as me when it comes to government and where the country is headed.
Well, there you go. There's a good and bad apples everywhere.
But the problem is these people are just, they don't know what their real jobs are. They're misinformed. They're listening to the media. They're just as ill-informed as we are, okay? So, yeah, again, the most important thing is people just being positive and realizing they're not powerless. Right? You know, the only real thing that knowledge does is it gives you the foundation to be able to stand up and say, yeah, now I know for sure I'm right. I always felt I was right. But now that I've got this education, I've become educated in law, now I know that I'm right. I know why I'm right. That's the only reason that makes that deadlier. But just standing up and just saying, you know what, now this isn't going to happen anymore. I'm done. You guys are done. It's over.
It can only be a win-win situation at the end, Dean. Like, the more of us that will stand up for our rights, learn this stuff very well, you know, sooner or later, their fear tactics are going to become like not effective at all. Like,
yeah.
When people hear of case after case after case of people that are getting away I shouldn't say get away, because you're not really getting away with anything that isn't already yours, but like people who are able to go head to head with CRA and win, or fight a case against a charge against driving without a driver's license and win. When there's more and more of these cases happening, just that alone, the news of that alone getting out there will give people the courage to stand up and fight for the rights.
Yep. Which is another comment I make frequently to people. Even if we're wrong, when there's enough of us, we become the new right.
True. Very true. Okay. Alex Silveira from this discussion is on the Global Fact fan page. Can you ask how zoning laws still apply even if you own it, fee simple or absolute? I don't know if that's fee free simple and absolute or fee simple. I don't know if it's a typo or not. But I think
it'd be fee simple absolute. We're talking zoning.
Okay.
Well, see, and this is something that coincides with last week's meeting. Again, just because I own something fee simple absolute, let's say I own a 90-foot deep building lot in downtown Winnipeg, and I just said, I own this fee simple absolute. I can do anything. I'm gonna build an 8-family rental property that's to within 1 inch of the property line, and I'm not gonna obey anything. Well, no. This is the problem. It was like, okay, I can understand zoning and I can understand the need for building codes, but I think there's a line there where we allow the city to approve what we build, and we allow the city to come in and to inspect to make sure we built something to code, but then they've taken that about 100 steps too far. And I don't think that the solution is, again, to just back out completely and say, no, F you, everybody just start building absolutely anything they want on their own property inside the city limits, because that's going to be even worse than, say, than how things are presently handled. So there's a problem there. But then again, also, with zoning, if we're talking zoning now, anything above residential 1 means more than 1 family. Residential multifamily, residential 2 family or more, residential 4 or more, and then residential multi, anything beyond a fourplex. you're not talking about your own personal and private use anymore. Now you're starting to get into the public. So that's another one of those gray, fuzzy areas where we want to make sure that people are being responsible out there. And my big thing with zoning is if I got a farm out in the middle of nowhere, I'm going to build what I want on that farm. For a house, I'm going to build a barn, I'm going to do whatever I want. I'm on 160 acres, and my next neighbor's a quarter mile away. No one's going to tell me that because I'm within 300 feet of the, you know, whatever, some kind of an access point to some kind, that I can't do this or I can't do that. That just has no practical sense or application on my property. So I don't want to say that, you know, zoning doesn't apply or they can't come and tell you not to build a 16-story apartment building out of wood on a residential R1 one-family building lot. But you see where I'm going with that? Like, we have to learn to use some logic here and some reasoning skills. Like, is it reasonable that maybe the city should be able to in the interest of making a city that actually runs properly and that everybody is happy in, and I don't really encroach on my neighbor's property. This guy has a nice house. He kind of is trying to live here and be happy. Do I want to put seven families? Do I want to build a mini trailer park on a residential lot? Do I want to just pull in 9 ATCO trailers and start putting in, like, third world families that are just immigrating here? Like, no, there has to be some basic minimum of what you can really do in a city before you really start to damage your neighbors. So take that as you will. But for the most part, I would say I'm not opposed to, say, zoning laws. It's the bylaws where they try to come in and tell you that the minute you remove one piece of drywall from the inside of your home, you're supposed to have get a permit, and you've broken some bylaw.
Oh, God, I hate that. I hate that.
That is freaking ridiculous. So, again, here we have the two extremes, okay? You got them telling you you can't take off one piece of drywall or take off a light switch cover without a permit, but that shouldn't be a reason for us to say, nope, that's it, I'm done, fuck you guys, I'm buying an empty lot in the middle of the city and I'm bringing in 12 ATCO trailers and I'm going to put up every third world immigrant family I can in there just to be a dickhead. Right? Like, there's the whole, like, that's two extremes. There's middle ground. The reasonable man. What would the reasonable man say? Okay, this is reasonable. This is within reason. I'm willing to negotiate. Let's talk. So when it comes to zoning laws, that's all you got to ask yourself is, okay, I understand I own this property, but I got to be reasonable here.
Okay, so we have a live caller on the air. Live caller, area code 289, ending 0316. Your name, please.
James Berry.
James, how you doing, James?
Not bad.
Okay, you got a question for Dean?
How's it going, James?
Oh, not bad, fellow person. No, I just wanted to make a couple of comments here. Tony asked me on the chat there last week about going away from the system. I use my person, and the reason why you should be using your person is if you ever try to get a credit card without a driver's license, that's how the system recognizes you. And it's advantageous for everybody to use their person, and that's why you're going to have to study to do all this commercial stuff. Second comment is that we have in Canada, we have a really, really unique situation here where we can really correct the political scene here, because Canada is gave up its charter years ago, and it's all commercial here, and they're working as a de facto government. So having said that, the Queen actually gave up the charter, gave it back to the Indians, and everybody could, you know, go on the net and check this out. Don't take my word for it. Do your own studying. And those are about the only comments I want to make, but you're really doing a good job, Dean. And I've seen you at the Toronto seminar, and I
I know like, exactly who this is, and I can actually see your face right now. Like, I recognize the voice. So,
yes.
No, that's great. Hey, we're just trying to get everybody brought up to speed. Like I say, there's a million different opinions out there, but can we just pick some middle ground and everybody just kind of say, yeah, you know what, that's reasonable. Let's all just do that.
Yes, and everybody's got to do baby steps because I know what you're going through because you get about 10,000 questions. I get the 10,000 questions too, right? And it's the same old, same old. It's almost like being in a rat trap over and over again, but people are just going to have to get out and study.
Yep.
You know.
Well, what does it say there? And I think there's a book that says something about in the end of times, people will be looking for a savior under every rock.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So
that's true. That's true.
That tells me everybody's hurting out there for information, which is why we're trying to get as much as we can out to people.
Yeah. Yeah. But I got lots of law books for your site if people are interested, and I'm willing to upload them. But like I said, everybody's got to start baby steps.
I guess speaking of the site, we should give some recognition to Alex Rothschild, the dean, for doing up that site for you. It seems that a lot of people are making great comments about that site.
Yeah, and he's just a guy that came along and just said, hey, you know, I want to learn. Here's what I have to offer. And as soon as he said that he has a history with website design and doing all this kind of stuff, I said, I need a website. And he's like, done. You know, and like 3 days later, there's something up and running. And I was like, well, that's the first time somebody actually got something up and running that they said they were going to do. And then 3 days after that, it's like it's built and there's all this cool shit all over it. And we got a forum and stuff. And now the forum's up and running. And it's been crazy. It's happening real fast right now, which is great. So I kind of want to build on the momentum. And let's just go. And he's all pumped now because things are rocking and rolling. He's doing this all part-time on top of his job. And I mean, there's people working out there hard to make this happen. Everybody just needs to put in their a little bit of effort themselves. And this will go. This will work.
Well, I think it's awesome that he's actually doing that. And I want to be the first one to say thank you, Alex, for doing this. And it definitely helps us to spread the message and get the word out there. And take some of the load off us here in terms of the redundant questions. That way now people have a medium to ask the questions that were already answered here on the show. They, instead of asking them over and over again, they can put them up on the forum and Dean can deal with them. Or other people can answer them as well.
No, and I appreciate what James has had to say there too. He's right about the credit card thing, with exception to I think I got a Canada Post Visa without a driver's license, and I know that because I only got it about a year ago, and I haven't had a driver's license for about 7 or 8 years. So I know for sure it was with the birth certificate and with one other thing. I think I might have given them the live birth record. I can't remember, but there is benefits to the person if you learn how to do everything properly and undo all the incorrect things. Fix all the mistakes. Go back and say, oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't aware that when I checked off this resident box that this is what I was actually doing. That was a mistake. So I'm going to go back and I'm going to fix all this now. This is who I am. And I would actually beg to offer that there's definitely a way that you can keep it and maintain a driver's license in the proper capacity. Okay? And I'll enunciate that one more time. I do believe there is a way to maintain the driver's license under the proper capacity. But when you just go in and just get one, and you fill out everything and check off, like, same thing with the SIN number, okay? There's no problem with the SIN number. It's who you are in relation to it. You walk in there, you check off the resident box without even knowing what a resident is or how they view a resident when there's 8 other options on there. You can be like a non-resident alien. We just assume that means that that must only apply to Mexicans, right? So we check off the resident box. That causes all sorts of problems now. So same thing with the driver's license. It could be something as little as the way you sign it, the status that you put underneath your signature. Who are you? Okay, that's the only little tidbit or hint I'll give off on that. I just prefer not to have one at all, but that's not for everybody. There is no one answer to this. Everybody's going to have their own path.
Maybe sometime in the future when there are enough numbers, a larger number of us who are knowledgeable of this and how to use the person, maybe then we can start working towards eliminating the driver's license and the SIN number. I'll tell you one thing. When I belonged to this organization, the Global Prosperity, this was 10 years ago, they had such large numbers within their organization that they actually had a financial institution that was issuing a Visa credit card that did not require a driver's license or any kind of form of government ID in order to get it. And this was the kind of a specific credit card for that group. So I know that there are financial institutions who would be willing to negotiate and issue a credit card if you have large enough numbers or enough members to that would apply for it.
Ah, isn't that an interesting concept? That as soon as you have a bunch of people all together and they all have a unified will, that things will start to happen for you.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's something we'll talk about in the New Year's. I got a couple of ideas on that. So, but it's probably going to take place on the forum, and you and I will talk about that more as well for something to be spoken about in January.
Well, speaking of that, I just want to let our listeners know that a few times now you've heard me mention about some important announcement that Dean and I are going to make in the New Year regarding this education system, this university system that Dean's going to and I are putting together. We're going to make an official announcement about it, probably either on the first or second show of 2013. Dean and I are going to sit down together over the holidays and hash something, ideas back and forth about how we're going to do this. But I can tell you right now, if you like some of the things that you've been hearing so far about the website, the forum, what Dean's talking about, I think you're going to be very excited with this concept that we're going to come up with in the new year. Dean, you want to add to that at all? I'm letting our listeners know that if they're excited about everything you've been talking about so far, about the new website, about the new forum, they're definitely going to like what they're going to hear about when we announce what we're going to be doing in the new year with this university program, with this the education system that we're putting together.
I think it's certainly going to benefit. What I would have planned is a lot, especially the beginners, the people just get involved that have no idea where to go to start reading, to start learning on what to learn first, simply because if you've just kind of woken up to this, and I hate to use that phrase, but at this point, you don't even know what you don't know yet. You don't even, you have absolutely no direction, and you should start off kind of with some reading material and some instruction on even where to go. That, you know, read this, you know, don't come back until you've read this and you've done this and you've done this and you've done this. Okay, now you've done all that, now go do this kind of thing, right, to help you kind of get your bearings with all this material. So you don't spend 10 years confused like I did, trying to get everything sorted out in your head because it's just a whirlpool of nonsense. So, yes, and then above and beyond that, I think mostly what I'm going to be concentrating on in the new year is building new, is for the people that get towards the end of the road here and start to realize how irrelevant government actually is in their lives, and we have to start building our own kind of things here and just doing our own things as government becomes more and more irrelevant. That's where I want to go with things especially is, okay, well, here's where we're going. This is where we're going forward now. We've come to the conclusion these guys, they have no relevance in our lives. So we're just going to go around them now. We're going to start living our lives. We're going to get together. We're going to build some cool shit here now. And that's what we're going to be concentrating on in the New Year's as well. So,
okay, Dean, we're down to the last few minutes. I'd like to cover two short questions, if you don't mind. And then I guess you and I will wish everybody Merry Christmas and Happy New Year and close off for the night. One question here, it says, I've been indicted in the USA for selling pot via the mail, Fed case. I would like Dean's opinion on a possible approach to handle the situation. I'd like to offer some financial assistance if he can see the situation through to the end. Please ask him to respond to... Oh, I guess he wants to respond to the email address. So let's forget that one. Next question. I'm asking advice on a 15-year-old girl giving consent to sex. Parents were aware of it, didn't stop it. Now the 15-year-old has a child and trying to charge the adult. How can someone be charged if she gave consent? The charges are sex abuse and sexual interference.
For both of those, again, I wouldn't say that those are two matters I would want to become focal points of the Freeman movement, if you want to call it the Freeman movement. I'd say those are both very good questions to direct towards the forum. especially the pot one, because I don't consider pot to be a crime any more than drinking is or smoking. In fact, probably less than that, because you're probably curing yourself of cancer or doing something else beneficial for your body just by smoking it. Either that, or you're just staying at home on a Friday night and you got the munchies and you're buying chips, so you're actually boosting the economy by doing that, and you're being nonviolent. I've never seen too many people on a pot-driven rage in the drunk tank down at the jails when I was down there. And the other question, everything revolves around statutory, like that's where statutory rape clause come in, or a statutory this, and the government has decided this. The problem is when you get into the common law, natural law, the age of majority, the age of consent, the age of the right to self-determine and enter into your own contracts is actually 18. There are some problems to overcome there with that one. So that would be one I would not want to probably get into a whole lot, but that would be one with some research into ecclesiastical law, because now we're getting out of government now. We're getting into, well, why was it okay 100 years ago for a 50-year-old man to marry a 14-year-old girl, which was actually fairly common back then, right? Like about back in the 1860s or whatever it is. It was pretty acceptable back then, especially if you were rich. If you were a judge or if you were somebody, a politician, it was just kind of like what you did. You just married like 14 or 15-year-old girls. It was all the rage back then. So apparently they were okay with it back then. Now they're not, because now we've got political correctness, right? Two areas to explore.
Okay, so that pretty much sums it up. We're down to 2 minutes. So on behalf of myself, I'd like to wish thank our listeners for sticking with us and tuning to our show week after week. I want to wish you all a great Christmas and the best prosperous new year. I know it will be 2013. I know it's going to be a great year for me, at least. I'm sure it's going to be the same for everyone, especially with all the information you're going to learn on the How To with Dean Clifford show, as well as the university program we're coming up with. So all the best.
I'd like to do one more hour, guys. I got the holidays here. I'm busy as hell, and actually we didn't even think we were going to be doing 1 hour tonight. And I said, no, we got to do an hour here. I'm not going to leave everybody hanging for a couple weeks until well into the new year. So I do apologize about that. I'm going to be on the forum almost every day, though. And by the way, for people that do go to check it out, you're going to see nothing except just a blank board until you become a member. It's completely private. It's completely private until you join, because we want you to be a member, because it's supposed to be a community. You have to be a member. You can't even go and read stuff until you become a member. And another good reason for that is that for government prying eyes, anybody that wants to have to be able to get onto the forum and to read it, to spy on people, they have to become a member and they have to finance us to do it. And there's nothing I love more than government have to spend money on us. So... are we going to try and fit something in here before New Year's, Tony?
No. I was just going to announce that. What we're going to be doing is taking a break over between now and the next show, which is going to be the topic that we picked last week, which is how to detax or how to not to pay taxes. And that's going to be on January 7th. That will be we'll go back to regular Mondays at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. So our next How To with Dean Clifford is on January 7th. That's a Monday at 6 p.m. Pacific, and the topic for that one is going to be how to not pay taxes. And for the Cornish Sovereign, Merry Christmas to you as well. Thank you very much for the good wishes. And I guess, unless you have anything else to add, Dean, that pretty much sums it up, and I'm going to close it off with our theme song by the Beatles.
Yeah, just Merry Christmas, everybody, and I'll be on the forum all holidays long here. So that's another reason my time is getting tied up a lot now, is I'm putting a lot of time and energy and devoting it all into getting this thing going here so that I only have to answer questions once from now on, and it helps everybody. So.
Okay, so Merry Christmas, everybody, and Happy 2013.
Yep, Happy New Year. Glad everybody's still here after the Mayan end of the world. So welcome to the Age of Enlightenment. We're officially in it.
Exactly. We're officially in it as of the 21st, the Age of Enlightenment, the Age of Aquarius. And so we'll see you next again on the air on the 7th of January. And this ends the show for tonight. I'll close it off with the song. Good night, everybody.